Brilliant. Is that working okay? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Yeah. Brilliant. Well, thank you very much. Again, it's a privilege to come this morning and continue through Acts. So I'll be hearing from Stephen's going to read out a little bit of passage in a second. But I thought it was very poignant this morning, just about that song, Spirit Come Down. Break our walls down, and I think that's relevant for this passage this morning, but also I think more broadly with some of the messages that have been coming through from Acts, like Steph was saying last week, and I'll try to refer back to sort of previous messages as much as possible, but from what Steph was speaking last week and from what we'll be reading this morning, there's a really good example of the Apostle Peter, who had done so much up to this point in Acts, we're on Acts 10, but up to this point he had done lots of miracles. We know the miracle of Pentecost, and through his preaching so many thousands have come to know Jesus, and he goes around with John, he heals lots of people, and he is in and out of prison, he's beaten, but yet he continues to minister and to preach, and thousands come to know Jesus that way. But the message, I think, in this part is God wasn't done with him yet. God still had more to do and still had further walls in his life to break down. And that message is true for us this morning. So we're just going to hear from Steph, Acts 10, if you want to turn. Steph's just going to read from verses 1 through 16 to set the scene a little bit.
At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who's called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance. And he saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, By no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him again a second time, What God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times, and the thing was taken up once to heaven.
Thank you, Steph. So it's a story we're hearing, and I love stories. If you know anything about me, stories in the Bible are something that I really love to do, because sometimes they're easier to learn, but there is so much within them. And we learn this story a little bit about this centurion. So the first thing is that he's not a Jew, but he also is quite important. But he's also what's described as a devout man. He prays to God. He gives alms to the poor. Is similar in a sense to Jewish devout people. So he was devout in a way that a lot of the people in that time were, perhaps. He feared God and he prayed. And we know in verse 37 that he had actually maybe heard some messages before. Maybe it was around Caesarea where he was. In verse 37, later on it says, when Peter is speaking to him, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism with which John preached. And interestingly enough, we know about Philip from chapter 8, that Philip was essentially, after Stephen was martyred, there was a great persecution that came upon the church. And like Seth was saying last week, there was a scattering of believers. And Philip had actually come to Caesarea, which is where Cornelius was. And I thought that was quite important in what Seth was saying, that scattering of the apostles, that seeming persecution that looked bad on the outside actually had a purpose. And people like Cornelius had heard this message through that scattering with purpose, which I thought was important. And Philip is a Greek-speaking Jew. He was one of the deacons that was appointed by the apostles. So his prayers seemed to have been answered. So Cornelius said he prayed to God, and an angel came to him and said, "Your prayers have come up for a memorial before God." And I was kind of wondering, what do you think he was praying for? Because I don't believe he was actually yet saved. And I came to that conclusion through chapter 11, verse 14. When Peter was relaying some of this story to some of the other apostles, and the angel said then to Cornelius, "He will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved," and which was being said to Cornelius. So I draw from that, he wasn't actually yet saved, yet he had this desire, this searching, that something was missing in his life, but he didn't know what to do. He was devout, he was praying, he was giving, yet he still needed to be saved. And I think that's quite important to realize when we're going through this story, and when you read it yourselves at different points, that although God still heard his prayers, yet he was not saved at that point. So I'd really like three things to come out this morning. The first one is about prayer and the unseen works of God. So we've been hearing last week about the unseen works of this scattering, and the unseen works and prayer from Peter's perspective in Cornelius's life. So Peter didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know perhaps the details about Cornelius, but there was a lot going on in Cornelius's life that brought him to this point. You know, there was a lot of prayer from himself. There was messages that he was hearing. There was all sorts of things that probably weren't mentioned here that got Cornelius to this point where he was seeking after God. And I think that's important for us to realize in this passage, that there's so much unseen work going on in Cornelius's life and other people like him. And I feel like there's lots of Corneliuses around us that maybe we don't know or are aware of at this point, that people have been, perhaps we're ministering to Corneliuses, and then there's going to be another Peter that speaks, or perhaps we're the Peters that speak to these people. So there's a lot moving in this man's life before Peter had ended up speaking to him, as we've seen and as we've heard Steph speaking. So his answer to prayer came eventually, and that was, as we'll soon see, after this point, Peter comes to speak to him. So the second one, after the unseen works, is God has a higher vision of man than we do. So God views people usually differently to how we view people. And this is, I suppose, there's a picture of this where Peter says, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him a second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." And basically this is a picture of lots of different things, but in this case I think it's a picture of the Gentiles, such as Cornelius. So later on, in chapter 10, I suppose this is a good point to fill you in. So at this point, Peter has a vision, and it's done three times, as Step read out. And whenever the people that Cornelius had sent arrived at the house of Peter, Peter then asks, let me read out a little bit here. So from verse 18, "And they called and asked Simon, whose surname was Peter, who was lodging there,
While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the man who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Then he invited them in, lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So, at that point, when Peter's reaction to the vision was initially at first, "No, Lord, I don't eat anything unclean." And this was actually then a picture of him speaking to and ministering to Gentiles, which up to that point, Jews weren't allowed to associate with Jews. And Peter actually says that in verse 28. Then he said to them, when Peter arrives at Cornelius' house, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or to go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I shall not call any man common or unclean." So I think we need to lift our visions higher. Peter needed to lift his vision higher and see how God views men, that everyone is created in God's image and no one is out of reach of his message. And up to this point, Peter had not known that. He seemed to resist to that, but God changed him and God changed his heart. And I believe for us, until we start seeing people as God sees them, we're not going to meet and see Cornelius get saved the way he is saved in the end. Did Peter's mind not have to be changed at this point? Even though, like I was saying, he had done so much up to this point. And for me, I think this... I had a chat with a guy during the week on the train the way home, and this message kind of hit home to me a little bit. And basically, I travel home on the train with this. If I ever see him on the train, I chat to him. He's from work. Doesn't work in my department, but we end up chatting, got to know each other over the last few months. Basically, 99% of our conversations would be about sport. And I kind of was following the same direction this week. And then all of a sudden, he started opening up to me about how he has a little boy that he doesn't really get to see because he's fallen out with the mother. And it just came out of the blue totally. And I had my idea of him just totally changed in that one instant. And I was really taken aback that he kind of, you know, was just letting me know kind of what was going on a little bit. And I felt really privileged, but it did make me think about how we have opinions of people, people we maybe are getting to know or maybe have known for a while. And I maybe thought, oh, he's just a happy-go-lucky kind of single guy just enjoying life. But all of a sudden, he really struggles with this one thing that's kind of keeping him down. And I was thinking, you know, God knows us better than anyone else, but God also knows other people better than we do. And it's up to us to not judge or sort of judge too early, jump to conclusions, think we know people so well. They maybe don't need help, they don't need this, that, and the other, but let's be careful, let's just take a step back. And I think it's almost that subconscious attitude towards people that somehow, like Steph was saying, we can be more holy by accident if our hearts and our minds are turned towards God. The third thing I'd like to bring out after God's higher vision of man is, I think, really important, probably the most important of the three. And it links back again to this gathering together, gathering the church together with purpose, but then that scattering for mission possible, as Steph was telling us about last week, that there was this gathering of together that of purpose. There was this prayer for other people that we know Cornelius had been affected by. A lot of this is then for effective ministering for God's kingdom. And the third point then is about what I'll read out shortly, is the Holy Spirit works through our words for the power for salvation. So one of the great things I love about reading stories and things is to ask yourself what choices have been made, what has happened, and sometimes what has not happened can sometimes enlighten things in a story that we maybe haven't seen before. So one of the things that didn't happen was when the angel came to speak to Cornelius, the angel could have said anything, but the angel could have said, you need to repent, you need to be baptized, you need to believe in Jesus for your salvation. But the angel didn't say that. The angel said, you need to go and find Peter. Peter will speak to you. And it's really important that we are God's vessels for that ministering, that speaking. And the angel wasn't chosen, it was Peter. And it's the same with us today. And again, there's a really useful passage from Romans 10 that Paul summarizes to the Romans. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. So that's probably maybe come from this encounter that Paul maybe looks back on, or thinks maybe he's had a chat with Peter and has realized, look at this magnificent thing, that God doesn't view Jews differently from Greeks anymore, the way we used to. So I want to read then a little bit later in verse 10. Verses 42 to 44. So Peter then, when he has arrived in the house, he says to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company. And then Peter begins to speak to them. He says, I'll actually read from verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteously is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which is proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went along doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are all witnesses of things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they asked him to stay a few days. So there is so much in that passage, but I wanted to bring your attention to verses 42 to 44. And there's a few times it's mentioned about preaching, about testifying, about the prophets witnessing about Jesus, and about Peter still speaking words. So there's a lot of speaking, there's a lot of action here, and it kind of goes in a I think the order is very important here. In chapter 10, we start off hearing about Cornelius, about all the things that God is doing in his life that Peter was not aware of. Then we see Peter called and sent, and Peter's heart changed, how God changed him. And then we see this action, this scattering with a purpose, and this speaking. And I think it's such a huge, a seminal moment in our history that those on the outside, those unclean, those unwelcomed, those without fathers of any regard were brought into the adoption and were brought in to be children of God. This is such a magnificent moment here that throughout history, this is our history in a way. We can quite often think, I know myself, you know, we maybe have this Jewish mindset. We are the separated people. We are the chosen ones that cannot mix with others on the outside. We are the common people. We are those that were unclean because we, you know, perhaps you are, but I know I'm not from a Jewish background. My descendant was not Abraham. I am on the outside, and God brought me in. We shouldn't be feeling like, oh, people are on the outside. You know, we were on the outside, and we have now been brought close. Let us not stop at the gathering for purpose. You know, let us not stop at the gathering. Let's go forward into point three, where God has asked us to, like Peter has been saying here, preach to the people, testify, witness. All those three words, speak. I think it's really important that we also look at verse 38. I think it is really interesting how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. It's important that he says Jesus of Nazareth there, I think, as well, with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Because God was with Jesus, all of these things followed Jesus around. The healing, the doing good. The sign of the kingdom is that healing, is that freedom. If God is with us, you know, there should be that freedom and no condemnation, that freedom. We should see seeing people's lives transformed when God is with us. I liked also what Steph said last week about making us effective witnesses. Our gathering together here in God's presence, our praying, should be for making us effective witnesses. So let us speak and teach and witness and testify, for this is where God brings his kingdom. When we glorify him, his Holy Spirit comes. And we see at the end here that while Peter was still speaking, which is, I think, the culmination of Cornelius's life, was to hear words from Peter. All the things that were put in place were for him to hear these words, and the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And then Peter said these people should be baptized. So just recap again those three points about the prayer and unseen works of God in Cornelius's life and other people in our own lives that maybe we don't know about. And God's higher vision of man, and how we need God to change our hearts about how we view other people sometimes, and about how the Holy Spirit works through our words for salvation. And it wasn't, in fact, the angel that was speaking to him about salvation, it was Peter in the end. So, amen.